magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. And before we jump into some scripture references, some God-honoring stories, some details that we hope will encourage or bless you or maybe challenge you in your faith journey to get out of that comfort zone into the courageous zone, God zone, let me give you a few
That's a sermon. The comfort zone to the courageous zone?
Well, I mentioned on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends with Marianne, we were highlighting Dolly Redden, who's from Danville, a dear friend.
I remember her. Didn't she write a book a number of years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And she was at that. Were you at the testimony and worship night I had in my yard where about 350 people, and I had Dr. Dave Webb, Karen Harrison, and then Dolly was one of the speakers.
I wasn't there, but I remember she came to the Olive Garden and had her books just that she was sharing, and there was at least, well, I don't want to say at least, it was everybody who met her who goes, no, there's no way she's 97.
Yeah,
like, there's no way.
Yeah.
She's, like, way too vigorous and excited and encouraging. And, I mean, you know.
Still that way. So at that time, that book signing, she was probably 92-ish.
Yeah, I think I think you always referred to her as 92 and a half.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is funny because we only ever use that kind of way to describe people's ages when they're young.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, you applied it to the young and then the old.
Yeah.
And those of us in the middle are just whatever we are.
Whatever we are. Well, at 96, last year, she rode on a motorcycle. That was
wrestled alligators.
Yeah, this gal is up and coming, and it was funny, Marianne. I was saying, yeah, I might re-air that interview I had with her 4, 5, 6 years ago. Mm. And Marianne says, hey, she's on YouTube now. You know, I mean, she's
with on it. YouTube.
Yes,
she has a YouTube channel.
Well, I think you can subscribe, but her daughter Georgianne sent me like this link. And a few days ago, she gave like a 28-minute message, and you see her walking up to the podium. I saw her in December, and she had like a little walker, but she is very spunky and moving around. But this YouTube that she was on, she gets up to the podium and, you know, opening remarks and sharing. And you think, okay, 97, she'll maybe a 5 or 6 minute. It went like 28 and a half minutes. I mean, fully sharing, you know, her story and testimony.
It. April 8th, 2018.
Yep.
Wow.
She's an incredible gal. So we kind of featured and highlighted her, but she just turned 97. So why did it get on this tangent? So Dolly, yesterday's a
We went from Holly to Dolly
to Molly.
Oh, how's no.
How's your daughter, Molly?
No. You are comfortable to courageous.
Oh, yeah. I feel very courageous. Oh, from the comfort zone to the courageous zone. Uh-huh. And she's still active and not in any kind of rut. Still doing things, writing a book at 97. And just what an inspiration. She left me a really nice, sweet message after yesterday's morning's program and said she didn't deserve all the accolades or the acknowledgement, but she really does. And she's finishing well, still serving the Lord, honoring him. And I think I told you before this broadcast we were talking about that. I said, wow, that's like I could be, if 39 more years, very intentional and growing, it would put me right to the 97. So,
yeah. That's true.
You know, so, oh, yeah. Anyway, so I was going to make some announcements. The Singing Men this Saturday are going to be singing at the Women's Correctional Facility. I think it's in the Lincoln area. I say around towards Decatur, but I think it's actually right in Lincoln. So we'll ask for your prayers on behalf of the Singing Men, the testimony that they can give, and encourage those women. And then May 19th and 20th, we've begun a waiting list, but we filled a whole bus for the Creation Museum Ark Encounter. You joined me on that 2 years ago, I think we did that.
We did the Creation Museum. I've never been to the Ark Encounter is still on the bucket list. I'm still trying to figure out how to make it out there to do it. But as a family, many times we said, we need to go. And for anything, just I was reminded there were some folks I know who were there last week, I think. And I just love that picture. I'm a visual scope and kind of scale guy, and so I want to see the Ark. I want to just like kind of behold the size of it and what it looks like, you know, the weight of it. And so I'm always, when I see that picture of people standing in front of it, I'm like, wow. Yeah. I got to go and just, like, touch the side of it.
It is amazing. We went, I guess, right shortly after it opened up. So that was, I guess, 2 years ago or a year ago. I've slept since then. But we did the same kind of, we went, the Creation Museum. You get there at noon. You enjoy a meal. You stay there till about 5:30 when it closes. Then you go to your hotel and have dinner. Mm-hmm. And then we have a church service the next morning. Then we headed over to the Ark Encounter, I think they call it. But, yeah, it's enormous. You walk through and you're like, wow. And it makes sense. They show you how they would have fed the animals, what they would have done with the waste, and how the storage would work and all the compartments and how literally, of course, we believe God's word, but how it practically worked out, how Noah could have done such and such. And it kind of made sense. And But, yeah, it's enormous, and you're walking through, and there's hundreds of people in there, and they have a restaurant in there. I mean, it's enormous.
And that's not biblical, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't a restaurant.
Yeah, and the big screen TVs. I don't think Noah had those. But,
well, you know, it was a long journey.
Yeah, so anyways, we do have a waiting list because, you know, with the 55 people we're taking, you know, in the next month or so, there's always people that have to pull out or whatever. So we have a few people. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, and there's a picture of our group from 2 years ago that went there. But that's May 19th and 20th. Then on Saturday, June 9th, we haven't said much about this, but Ivan Parker's coming to town. He'll be next door here to Lincoln Square at the First United Methodist Church. So it'll be $15 open general seating, and then the $25 the meet and greet reserve seating. And so the concert begins at 7 p.m., the meet and greet's at 6 p.m., and we'll have treats and snacks. But we're not doing tickets, but get your wristbands now so you can order online, pay online, or call it in, and we'll have wristbands reserved for you to wear so we know and can distinguish who's VIP, who gets the meet and greet, and then who gets the general seating. But that's Saturday, June 9th. And then I sent you a message the other day, but the end of this month, our early bird special for the Israel trip, the Israel pilgrimage, October 3rd through the 13th, looks like we have about 30 people all signed up, so we have room for a few more. We want to keep it a smaller group, but that's October 3rd through the 13th, and if you want to be eligible for the early bird special, you need to get your reservation in. Basically, you have to fill out an application. We follow up with the two reference calls, and then we talk it through. And
not just the earlier bird special, but, I mean, we're intentionally keeping this group smaller than some of the past groups, and so there really isn't that many more slots left, I mean, because we want to keep this so that we can maximize what we see and we can move in a good fashion through some of the sites so that we can be able to see more, be able to do more, and experience more. I mean, you get above a certain number, and we learn that even the bathroom breaks take an exorbitant amount of time.
Well, just unloading and loading the bus, it's 3 to 5 minutes longer when we had 56, and that's a lot of people to get on and off the bus, and you lose a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes here, and suddenly you have to discern, do we even go to this site? Do we have enough time?
Right.
And tourism it's at an all-time high. It's peaking. And so there's more crowds in places, so everything takes a little longer. So with a smaller group, it's easier to move in and out and navigate and then have that intimacy time of sharing and praying and getting to know everyone. So that we figure will fill up pretty soon.
Yes.
It's October 3rd through the 13th. You can find out all about it at our website, greatnewsradio.org. And there's a link, just I'm interested in knowing more about Israel trips or Israel gatherings and such. And then for the people that sign that up, I give like the 42 frequently asked questions, and I send them a little email. These are some updates you need to know. And then if you want to know about our October trip, here's a link. And so, yeah, we're excited about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, a lot of good things God's doing through the center, the Prime Life Times. We have that in over 150 locations now. I ordered, you see those stands out
there. Yeah, they're all lined up like soldiers.
I got 10 more coming soon, and now I've ordered 30 countertop display racks, I guess you'd call them. I don't know, they're like wire, but you can put them on a countertop and get 20 to 40 papers. I have two variations, and they're going to be in that red robin red.
You love that.
So, yeah. Jason calls it, Jason Gingold. He says, we're bleeding all over town. You know,
which is funny, because Great News Radio has traditionally been that it's been that blue, like the dark
blue
has been like the Great News Radio color. And so,
yeah, when he says bleeding, I think of the blood of Jesus, and it's like kind of a neat way, even though he doesn't refer to it as that, that the message of Jesus is going out in a lot of unique ways through these Prime Life Times papers. And we just see God using that, 26,000 readers and growing, and in a lot of different new locations. And the distribution team is growing. I have some more volunteers that are interested in helping monitor an area where they can say, hey, we need more papers here or in this location. So assembling that ever-growing team, and Marianne continues to bring new authors and content contributors and new features. Mm. And so, yeah, it's exciting to see what God's going to do with that in the days ahead. So, that's kind of the run-up on things happening through this radio ministry. We always appreciate your prayers and your financial support. And thank you, God. We had a board meeting last week where we kind of vision casting, where's God leading us in the days ahead, and how can we improve things and accommodate the listeners? And then finally, I didn't have this on my little list, but at the end of this month, on Monday the 30th, as you know, I love the Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Well, they sent me this email about a month ago and said, we do have this 10% fundraising thing that we do, and if your organization or charity wanted to participate, you know, call in. And I called in right away and said, hey, what's the scoop on this? What's involved? And they said, just pick a night. Usually Mondays and Tuesdays are slower nights. You know, the weekend, it's pretty packed.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what's your slowest night? I want the absolute slowest night so I can just pack it with Great News Radio listeners and Prime Life Times readers. And they said, well, Monday night. And then I looked at our Prime Life Times, the deadline, and I thought, you know, Monday the 30th, that's the last Monday in the month. And that way, if it's in the newspaper all month, you get optimal readership for people to be aware of it. Because if you had it on, like, the 13th, well, then the rest of the month, it'd be like, this is old information.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was the perfect day, and so I worked it out. And so we announced that a little bit yesterday. And we have flyers that anyone that writes us will get one, and it's in the newspaper, so hopefully many of the readers and the singing men and people from the theater group, even the conversational English class, even though it's a number of Asian students, they were like, oh, will this help the station? I said, yes, if you have to go out and eat, 10% of your total food costs will go to the station. So it's one of those things, Jason, you know me, I want to see a line. I want people waiting. I want people like, oh, we want to get in there, that they're out the door.
Mm.
And then I want to take pictures of that and then maybe do the same thing at the Olive Garden restaurant or maybe a big Mexican restaurant or something where we'll have a series of gatherings where maybe the restaurant will say, okay, we'll donate 10% of the food costs to the station. And that's a way that I can meet and greet and we can have some fun with it. So put it on your calendar. You all have to eat that night. Now, whether you can afford to eat out, you know, that's certainly, you know, something that you have to budget and think about. But 10% of your food costs will go to the station. So on the 30th, if you want to make a fun night of it, come on out to the Texas Roadhouse between 4 and 10 p.m. And nobody sits alone. I will somehow work it out where if you're single or your spouse is out of town or widowed or for whatever reason, you don't typically eat out because it's no fun to eat alone. I will match you up with a family or some other fun-loving Great News Radio listeners or Prime Life Times readers. We'll work it out where you'll get to sit with someone. So I think that'll be the fun challenge for me, Jason, is to have everyone feel like family, and we'll dine together and know that 10% will go to the station. So it's kind of a fun way to support the station, and it's a good meal. I love eating there.
Yeah, well, I know you do. It's like the land of two meals for you because you eat enough peanuts and
rolls.
And then you just...
Well, I get to the salad, and it's like, I'm full at that point.
Yeah, and then you haven't even gotten your chicken yet, and you haven't even...
The baked potato, no salt on it, I have like four favorites that I usually get with Skip or Larry or others that I dine there with, but... And then Tuesday nights, children night, so that's always a fun time. We take Esther after her piano lessons. That's sometimes a treat. They have little games for the kids and reduced meal costs. And usually Holly and Esther share a meal, so it's kind of a for you to think, wow, you get to eat out all the time. But the way we work it, I usually get two meals out of it. It's, you know, it's around $10, so a $5 meal. And then Holly and Esther share theirs, and so and we don't drink the pop or anything, so when you get the water, you don't have those added costs. Anyways, we work it to our advantage.
We like it there. We went there on, why did we go there on, I think it was Veterans Day or Memorial Day, one of those holidays.
Yeah.
And they fed, like, if you were a veteran and I brought my paperwork in there, they fed, like, a full meal. It was free.
Yeah.
Like, pick a drink, pick an appetizer, here's your meal, this is what you can order, pork chop, steak, or chicken, here's this, here's that, here's a dessert. It was a full thing. And it was really kind of cool because when we were sitting in there, I was thinking, they're not making any money because every table was veterans.
Yeah.
But like it was just like, this is amazing. And then they had the one table that was set for like the, you know, in honor of the veteran who can't come to eat. And I was like, this place, I love it.
Yeah. The manager, Jeff, hardworking guy. Yeah. They recently remodeled so they have more parking, but they're very community-minded. And yeah. Years ago, they gave me, I don't know, like when we did the Merge Gospel series or something, they gave me appetizer coupons for everyone, yeah. Those peanut bags, and they did rolls one other time for me, and have done appetizer gift cards, I don't know, hundreds of them over the years.
Yeah.
But they manage it well. It's consistent. Larry and Skip and I used to eat there many Sundays, every third or fourth Sunday. During our single days, we'd have a meal there, but we'd always laugh. We'd say it probably every time. Skip would sit next to me, and I'd go, "Hey, Skip, how's your meal?" And he goes, "You know what? It's the same as last time. It's always consistent.
Yeah,
it's always the
good.
Same taste. The salads are always the same size." So, yeah, I sing them praises, but they're a really good restaurant, and the fact that 10% of the food costs will be donated to the station, it's like, this is a no-brainer. Why would I not do it?
Yeah.
No cleanup. I don't have to do a lot of setup. Just be there and greet you and enjoy an evening together. So put it on your calendar. It's the 30th of April. And, yeah, I'm hoping there's a lot of people. And, you know, it'd be fun. I'm hoping I can convince them that I can go table to table and maybe fill people's water up.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun with a apron on and, I don't know, glad hand everyone. I don't know. I just like doing that. It's fun to have a couple minutes with everyone. Just say, hey, thanks for coming. And I think it'll be fun. So, again, if you're single or don't have anyone to eat with, you won't sit alone. I'll make sure that we get you at a table with a great bunch of people. But it's April 30th, anytime between 4 and 10 p.m. For some of you, come right at 4 o'clock so we can fill the restaurant. Others of you have a late lunch that day and come at like 7:30 or 8 at night so we can continue to have it filled. So.
Yeah.
Okay, enough for announcements. Some God-honoring scripture, something that the Lord has done or revealed?
Well, you know, here, I'll share this. I wrote it. Sometimes this is what happens is I'll be laying in bed in the morning, and I'll get woken up. I'll start having a thought, and I'll wake up, and, you know, sometimes if I go to bed with that thought or not, my wife hates it because then I usually grab something and start typing or writing, and she says that it's really annoying when somebody next to you is typing or writing in bed while everyone else is trying to sleep. Yeah. But we were at BSF on Monday night, Bible Study Fellowship, and we were having a conversation out of Romans 14. And somebody during the course of our conversation said, the two things, you know, we were talking about having conversation, talking about honoring other people, making them not stumble, considering your brother above yourself. And one of the things that somebody said was, they said, you know, two things you don't talk about is politics and religion. And I went home, and it kind of stuck in my craw, just that kind of phrase, the two things we don't talk about is politics and religion. And so the more and more I thought about it, and then when I woke up early in the morning yesterday and was thinking about it, why do we not want to talk about politics and religion? And that's because both of them tend to be divisive conversations, depending on where you stand. But what was interesting to me is that as I thought about it, you know, the Greek word for politics means city, and it always pertains to the city in terms of the common good of those living within the city. So the word politics is not about partisanship or where you stand on what side of the aisle. Politics, at its root meaning, is about a city where the city works towards the shared common good of those people who live within that city and do so in the greatest way possible. Now, the word religion, that word means to bind together, to be bound together for the purpose of worship or devotion. The greatest measure of that we find in the Bible is when Jesus says in Matthew 22:36-40, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And so when we look at politics and religion, the two things we're not supposed to talk about, at their core and correctly interpreted, are all about shared values and binding one another together for the good of one another. So why are these two things that we're not supposed to talk about? Because most of our political and religious talk is not about shared common good, but about personal preference.
Yeah.
It's about what I want, what I like. You know, politics and religion in today's kind of, you know, where we're at, have become so self-serving, such inward expressions of our preferences and our desires, rather than being outward expressions of what we can do for the common good. I mean, the greatest example of this is, just think about this, denominations. Denominations exist because this group couldn't get along with this group, or couldn't get along with this group, or couldn't get along with that group. I mean, churches have split over the color of paint and the tempo of a song. And in the same way, in politics, we have partisan lines. I'm over here, and you're over there. I'm red, and you're blue. I'm an elephant, and you're a donkey. But the interesting thing is that as Christians, what drives our pursuit of the common good is the good news, that Jesus Christ has indeed come. And it's our devotion that binds us together and drives our compassion for all, not just some, because God so loved the world, John 3:16. And I think when you see religion done rightly, it prepares us and points us to a mission. And when we see politics done rightly, it gives us the mission field, the place where we can work towards the common good. Politics, when done rightly, is a powerful vehicle for our mission. But sadly, much of our politics and religion today has nothing to do with loving or caring for the common good of one another. Hence, these are the two things that we don't talk about. You know, it's really interesting because what is the goal of a city? I think in our current context, it's to be the best city amongst many cities. But when do we ever say our city is going to be the best city for our community, best serving our community? In the same way, I think the church is trying to be the best church in the community rather than being the best church for the community. Both of these things are building kingdoms in the wrong direction. They're building kingdoms inward, not outward, to serve and love others. And so we should be talking to people about religion and politics. We should be having those conversations, but not along denominational or partisan lines. Instead, we ought to be proclaiming the power of God to save and for his call for us to love and serve the common good in uncommon ways. And I believe that this will drive us to having the right kind of political conversations, one centered around the common good, one centered around what we can do to love and serve one another. And so it was just interesting when somebody said to me, you know, we shouldn't talk about religion and politics. I said, no, I think we should. The problem is that we're having the conversation the wrong way. We're not seeing through the right lens in order to have these. And so we definitely do. We need to have conversations about how do we serve the common good of us all. How do I consider my brother above myself? And all of that is what Romans 14, Romans 13 tells us to do.
I'm thinking this is a segue into Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, but Pharaoh had it all wrong because it was all about him.
Exactly.
Instead of how God would have wanted him to serve the people of Egypt.
Right.
So,
I think that's how political power tends to work, is political power tends to be grasped, and then it's no longer for the good of the people around, the good of the city and the community within the city, but it becomes for the good or greatness of that leader. You know, and I mean, even we could take slogans that happen now, you know, make this great again. Well, it built into some of that, we have to admit, might be a healthy amount of pride, which says, then I will also be great. And we just have to be careful with that because pride is such a powerful, a sinful motivator of our hearts.
Yeah. And we have that tendency, the middle of sin is I.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Oh, that's another good one. Are you working on these messages,
yeah,
man? Oh, man.
All right, everyone. Let's talk about politics and religion today in the workplace or wherever you go, but do it with tact. Do it with gentleness. I think on Sunday your message was about, you know, when we do it with love and care and
gentleness and all patience, Paul writes to Timothy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.